Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happens to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped. Through his blood,
step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichiku today.
Oh, we bless you, Lord. Oh, all of sons everywhere, lift up those holy hands. Lift those holy hands. Wave them to the Lord and adore him. Oh, oh, you minstrels, worship him. Oh, you singers, worship him. Oh, you who stand in the house of the Lord, worship him. Oh, you priests, worship him. All who stand in his presence, bless his name. For the Lord God is almighty. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of hosts. His holy is temple. Hey.
Lift those hands. Come bless the
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. That the praise of my King be on my lips. That the fruit of my lips be an offering. An aroma, a fragrant sacrifice pleasing to your heart. Ligeruse kikatuje, lebrede kuje te ya la ne kuje prataya, leikoruse te ya galade sande imbrana kataya, le ya nikose te ya kuje, librede shunde librete ya, le kushataya. Our Lord, our God, you are fearful in praise. You are fearful in praises. You are fearful in praises. Awesome wonder. We praise your name. We praise your name. Oh, Garishoteya Katea. Libre de Kuzeteya Karataya. Ekaladata Shakataya. Libra di Kalade Shakaha. Legere de Sandeli Brigade Shakataya. Legere de Sataya Labaha. Ligana Bradu Sataya. We give you praise. We give you
blessed are thou, Son of David. Blessed are thou, Root of Jesse. Blessed are thou, Son of David. Blessed are thou, Root of Jesse. You are eminently glorious, immaculately beautiful. My words are not enough. My vocabularies will fail me. But permit me to cry out, Ibaho, Ibaho. Blessed are thou, Root of Jesse. Yeba sondra diaba dia keteliande. Blessed are thou, Son of David. Yeba de baria de shaniana. Blessed are thou, King of Heaven. Yeba ria de basiniando paria de. barada. You are eminently glorious, immaculately beautiful. I can go on and on, but my words are not enough. My vocabulary will fail me, but permit me to cry out, Ibaho, Ibaho.
Springs of life. They have
trees of life. For the barren land, has become a fruitful field, even in the presence of the Lord. Mountains melt, seals keep like rams, the floors stay back. They are beating back in the kosher, in the very presence of the Lord. The bars of iron, the gates of bronze, they are shattered, they are broken in the presence of the Lord. Yes, Lord. Blessed art thou, King of heaven. Blessed art thou, King of land. Blessed art thou, King of heaven. Blessed art thou, King of land. You are infinitely powerful, magnificently wonderful. I can go. An intimate moment, such blessedness of fellowship, for our fellowship is with the Father. Oh, as by His Spirit, our fellowship is with the Son, as by His Spirit. Kayala de Kaya. Glorious God. Come to your heart, new songs will come to your lips. Ah, leketos and the kaya, ebar in the zaya, eya kalabahate. Idrimoman is here, Idrimoman, Obarachineke. Masirobim Kaya Latikos and the Kaya Ladesha Libra de Kaya Dahaka. We bring the sacrifice of praise into your house, oh my Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into your house, oh my Lord. And we offer unto thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and we offer unto thee the sacrifice of praise. You are so wonderful. You are so awesome. You are so gracious, so merciful, so loving. You are so faithful. Beyond what the minds of men can comprehend, beyond what our words can convey. Thank you for the language of the Spirit. Thank you for the groanings in the Spirit. Thank you, Father. Because words are never enough. The vocabularies of men are so limited. Who can understand? Who can comprehend? Who can know? Who can search? Who can search? Who can? Who can? Who can? Likeruze kandasaya. Laikaradesha. You who dwell in unapproachable light. Kai, sandeli bregete kaya laba, wrapped in blistering glory. Kayeto shakataya, invisible, immortal, all wise God. Hey, kaya, kaya kute in the neck, in the sate kataya, ayadai kaladaya. Oh, Holy One, Holy One, Holy, 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 Holy One. Oh, with whom there is no variableness, with whom there is no shadow of turning. The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Eternity to eternity, everlasting to everlasting. Aye ko shete ya kanade sante kayata. Hey, sahike predisa ne kain ne kiri de sapranda. We worship you. We bless your name. We bless your name. In Jesus' name, we worship. Lift your hands everywhere. And say, Father of all glory, in the name of your Son Jesus Christ, I present myself, my spirit, soul, and body, all that is mine, before your very presence. By the mercies of the Lord, I present myself, all my faculties and members, a living sacrifice before your glorious presence. And I receive the blessing of the blood of the everlasting covenant that speaks over me, and I stand before your presence, holy, blameless, irreproachable, and with the boldness
of your righteousness, which I have received as a gift. I call you Father. By the spirit of adoption, the spirit of Christ, whom you have given me, who dwells in me, I cry, Abba, Abba. I love you, Abba. I receive of the fullness of the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ. I receive of that fullness of Christ. I am filled with your fullness. Even now, in the name of your Son, Jesus, and the blood of Jesus Christ, that blood of the everlasting covenant, makes me complete in every good work to do your will. Oh God, working in me by your spirit, that which is pleasing in your sight. Thank you, Father. For all the days of my life, I walk worthy of you, pleasing you, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in your knowledge. Father, I take hold of the blessings of eternal life. I take hold of the blessings of your manifest presence, the presence of your glory in my life and in the midst of your church. Even now, that which you have ordained for my glory, even your wisdom working mightily in me, I take hold. I take hold. I'm renewed in strength. I'm quickened, full of life. I am blessed. I am favored. I am full of peace, overflowing with the joy of the Holy Ghost. I remain in health. My youth is renewed like the eagles. My strength is exalted like the horn of the unicorn. In the name of Jesus, I am fresh. I'm flourishing. In the name of Jesus, I live in prosperity. I have upon me the power of God, the anointing of your spirit, walking mightily in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Father. Thank you for the miracles you've done. Just through the intimate fellowship and worship, just in this moment, through the prophetic and through the word of faith. Thank you. Thank you for the communication of our faith becomes more and more effective and productive as we acknowledge every good thing that is in us in Christ Jesus. To you be all the glory. Thank you for cleansing us. Thank you for perfecting us. Thank you for strengthening us. Thank you for taking away burdens, lifting loads off our hearts and our shoulders. Thank you for destroying the yoke because of the anointing. Thank you for being a wall of fire surrounding us. Thank you for surrounding us with your favor as with a shield. Thank you for being our regard, even your glory. Thank you for being our shield and our exceeding great reward. Thank you. You're much more much more. Much more. And as we receive your words this evening, our hearts are open. When you speak, the dead comes alive. Let dead dreams come alive. Let dead visions come alive. When you speak, hope is stirred, that we all be filled with all peace and joy in believing, and that we be multiplied in hope by the power of your Spirit. When you speak, faith comes. That today our faith grows exceedingly, and our faith bear much fruit. When you speak, circumstances change. Lord, even within the service, as your word goes forward, things are turned around in our favor. When you speak, your enemies tremble and they scatter. As we receive your word, we decree and declare your victory in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our cities, and in this nation. We decree your victory over the plans, the schemes, the machinations of the enemy. Oh, the plans of the enemy are overturned. They shall not stand. The counsel of the wicked shall not stand. The counsel of the ungodly shall not stand. Your will is done in our lives, in our families, and in your church, in our cities, and in our nations. In the mighty name of Jesus, we are empowered with wisdom, and we walk in the light of the revelations we receive. For grace is multiplied to us, even your peace, in Jesus' precious and mighty name we have prayed. Lord, oh, you better bless the Lord. You better bless him tonight. You better bless him tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome at least two people to church, especially the ones sitting to your left and to your right. Introduce yourselves as is our custom. Make sure there'll be no stranger sitting by your side today. Glory, 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 glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are still on the series, The Revelation of the Father-Son Order. Somebody said, The Revelation of the Father-Son Order. We taught us that there are three major ways that God builds everything he builds in his house. There are three major ways that God builds. And when you want to build with the Lord and according to the pattern of the Lord, you must know those three major ways. Let me see those of you who are in Hills Conference and we are paying attention. What's the first way that God builds? Shout it so loud your neighbor can get it. So say with me, God builds revelationally. So he builds on truth. He builds on truth, and he gives the knowledge of that truth. And then he empowers us to walk in the wisdom of that truth.
God uses truth to build. He builds on the foundation and the pillar of truth. So whenever God wants to build, he gives his word. He brings a revelation. The second way God builds is what? Relationally. God builds relationally. God is a God of covenant. God is not reckless. God is not just spontaneously reckless. Doesn't just do something because he has all the power and he can do it. When he wants to do something, he gets into a pact, a covenant. And that's what we call relationship. That's how he works. When he wanted a people for himself, he made a covenant with a man named Abraham. And that's how the seed of Christ was introduced. When he wanted a family for himself, he made a covenant with a man called Abraham. So everything we know about God, the times before Christ and the finished work of Christ, is known as Old Covenant. That's how it is. Everything we will know about him after Christ is known as the New Covenant. That's how God works. Tell your neighbor, God is a covenant God. Come on, talk to him and that neighbor and say, God is a covenant God. And then what's the third way God builds? Am I hearing you? Shout louder. God builds generationally. And that means that when God is building a thing, he doesn't just think of the immediate, he thinks of the future. He doesn't just think of the immediate. He builds through a father-son order. He builds generationally. Generationally, that's important. Okay? The life, the grace of God, the life of Christ, eternal life, the blessing as you know it, the anointing, the wisdom of God, even the wisdom and the virtues and the values of God are transferred from one generation to another. That's how it works. Generationally. And that's very, very important. Today, we are going to look into the blessing of the Father. First of all, let's look at that scripture again. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. I would like you to hold just one neighbor by your side, just one, and call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David. Say, hear the word of the Lord. Read it to that neighbor and read out loud. One to go. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. This is the prophetic. This is the prophecy of things that are to come. I want you to understand that. Say, before then, I will send you Elijah the prophet. And what's going to happen? You know, Elijah, you have to understand the word Elijah, like Moses, is now more than a person. Is a personality that describes a dispensation and an institution. Let me say that again. The word Elijah, the name, is now describing much more than a person. Is more than a person. Is a personality that what? Describes what? A dispensation. So you have different dispensation. You have the Adamic dispensation. And then there was sin. And then there was the fall of man. And then you have the Noah's dispensation. And when God decided, I'm going to clear off because of the wickedness of men. The wickedness was so much. I'm going to clear off through flood the whole earth. He preserved for himself a family and a man through which he preserved all of creation. And that was Noah. Another dispensation. Then you have the Abrahamic dispensation, the beginning of the restoration. And then you have the Mosaic dispensation. So when you hear Moses is more than a man, he's talking about the dispensation of the law. Someone say the law. And then when you hear Elijah is more than a man, he's talking about the dispensation of the prophet. Somebody say the prophet. And then when you hear Jesus, you're talking about the dispensation of what? Grace. So on that mountain of transfiguration, that's what was happening. That's what God, the law, Moses, and the prophet, Elijah, are now giving way for Jesus. The what? Grace. The law and the prophet, you've got to understand that. So he's saying there is going to be a move of the prophetic in a manner that we've not known it before. Before the great day of the Lord, there's going to be a move. And he said, one of the things that will be happening with that move before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, this is what's going to think that's going to be happening. I want you to look at verse 6. And everybody read this and read it very loud. 1, 2, go. He said, and the move of that prophetic. In fact, if you look at the NLT, I think he will say the teaching of Elijah, the prophet, the teaching. What God is going to be revealing, the light is going to be restoring to the hearts of men. He said, I will turn, we produce the restoration. I will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And the heart of the children to their fathers. I will restore that covenant connection and relationship. Say, lest I come and strike the land with a curse. What's the implication of the scripture? Wherever there is a disconnection in the covenant relationship between fathers and children, what you're going to see is a curse. Let me say that again. Wherever there is a disconnection in the covenant relationship between fathers and sons, what you're going to see is a curse. You're going to see all manner of evil things. Now, this is true naturally as it is true spiritually. I know that during the Heals Conference, we were talking to us about the church family. I even talked about it on Sunday, the second service. And that in a family, God puts a father. The father is the source, the originator. You can't have two fathers in a family. You can't have two fathers in a family. In a family, there is a father, the source, the originator, the beginner. And we talked about it. But that's exactly how it is naturally. This truth is the same naturally. Check what happens in the society when the ideal of family as God ordained and designed it is affected. And you have fathers who are absent, fathers who are uncommitted, fathers who are irresponsible. Fathers, whenever you see a place where there is an absence of the responsibility of fatherhood, things are never the same. It takes the intervention of God, and many times raising a substitute father to return order in those places. So if you go all over the world, and in some places, if you can check the culture and study what's happening to, especially if you look at the black Americans, that's a case study you can go and study. Because over there, they have, you know, data that you can trust. They do statistical data and they work on it, and they can tell you this percentage of men are in prison. This percentage in Africa, we may not be able to do that. You can just assume. So you can go and make researches in our age. I mean, the information is very close. You go online and make the researches and see what's happening in the black community in America. And the major reason is the absenteeism of their fathers. Most Americans you talk to will have to talk to you about their mama and their grandmama. They hardly say anything about their fathers. Once you take away that connection, that covenant relationship, once there is a disconnection there, what you are going to see is curses and every evil thing. Now, let's look at the other side of it. And that's why the enemy fights it. That's why the enemy fights it. Let's look at the other side of it. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 1. We're going to read from verse 1 to verse 3. I will read verse 1, and I would like you to read verse 2 and verse 3 with me, and very loud. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now look at verse 2 and 3 and read. One to go. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. I'm not hearing you. I want you to be very loud. One to go. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with what? Promise. That it may be, and you may live. You want to live long on it. How many of you want to live long on it? Are you sure? Tell your neighbor, listen to the Lord. Say, don't lean on your own understanding. Say, I know you're smart. I know you're intelligent. I know you're wise. Say, but don't be wise in your own eyes. Say, God is wiser than you. Say, if there be any wisdom you have as a Christian, it should be the wisdom of God. Say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. If it tells you this is a commandment with promise, pay attention. The scripture said that it may be what? Well, you know what that means? That you may have peace and you may prosper. That's what it means. That you may prosper. It may be well with you. Do you know what that means? God tied the blessing of your prosperity and the blessing of long life to the loins of your father. And how you activate it by faith is honor. That's it. We read it on Sunday. He set the solitary in families. And you don't have a family without a father. That means in a family there is a divine authority. That's a father. He set the solitaries in families. He brings out people who are bound into prosperity by setting them under a covering of a father. And then those who are rebellious, he puts in dry lands, in dry places. This is very key. So I want you to understand what's happening today. When you have a generation of people that have no honor, no reverence for their fathers, And I told you there are about 10 types of fathers, different kinds of fathers. But that's not my focus. Let me focus on your natural and your spiritual father today. And let's work on it. So while I'm teaching you about your spiritual father, the same is for your natural father. And most times, I want to say this, not most times, sometimes you may not have an ideal natural father. You may not have an ideal natural father. Because that one can, the Bible, even Jesus said, if you fathers who are evil, he knows that fathers can be evil. Huh? An armed robber gives birth is somebody's what? Father. And there is nothing for the person to look up to. Is that right? An immoral, promiscuous man gives birth, he's somebody's what? Father. And there are irresponsible fathers, and that's the truth. But when God says, honor your father, he didn't give any condition. I treated a case where someone has a parent that even when the person tries to honor, the parent will begin to curse the person. Doesn't even want to see the person and be cursing the person. And so the person said, Pastor, what should I do? I said, you've got to understand how to walk in the light of the truth. When God tells you to do something, you do it irrespective of. Your responsibility and your faith responsibility is to do the will of God at all cost. I say a cost without a cost. I say, so don't call just to chat. There are people that don't have that relationship, and so honoring doesn't mean you have to. I said, but if there are certain days and certain times as you're praying and the Holy Spirit puts in your heart something to do, do it for them. And remove. In fact, if you know that after doing it, the person will start cursing you, put off your phone, block the line. I said, then secondly, never open your mouth and discuss them in a way that affects their testimony and their person or whatever it is. Never. Apart from when maybe you're talking to a spiritual father, a counselor, for a reason, maybe you need counseling and you need healing from all the abuses. Never open your mouth and open their nakedness and tell everybody or tell whoever, this is what this, my father did to me, this is what my mother did to me. I said, don't dishonor them. Don't dishonor their memory. Don't dishonor their testimony. In the presence of God, keep your hands like this. You may not have a friendship relationship with them, but irrespective of that, never dishonor them. Honor them. Don't let whatever they do against you tempt you into dishonoring them, no matter what. And if you've done that, you repent before the Lord, you plead the blood of Jesus Christ, and then you do something moving forward to honor them. Somebody say, Pastor, but what if they are not alive? Come on now. He that the Son of Man has set free. There is therefore now no what? Are we under the law? No. We use the law to the advantage. We are not under the law. You can't start going to the... No. Well, God now put that on your neck and say, because you dishonored your father, you dishonored your mother, you dishonored your grandparents, and now they are not alive, you are done for life. No way. They no bond that devil. What do you do? Even in this moment, receive forgiveness. In Christ Jesus, we have. Not we will have when we ask. In Christ Jesus, we do what? We have redemption through his blood. We've been redeemed from every curse. Even the curse of breaking any law. And we have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So what you do is you receive it. In the name of Jesus, I receive forgiveness. And I plead the blood. You know that the blood of Jesus is speaking. and you enforce your liberty, then what do you do moving forward? Honor their memories. My father's going to be with the Lord and not here physically with me. There are things that has always been in his heart that I know that when I do them, and some of them he intimated me. He talked to me about them. So I know when I do these things, it will please him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So when I do those things, and I speak well of him, and I do those things, I'm honoring him and even his memory. There is a family he left behind. When I bless that family, I'm blessing him. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Give God praise if you're getting it. So never let any message we teach bring condemnation into your spirit. Never. Never. You're not under the law. You're not. The message we preach brings the admonition of wisdom. These things were written for our admonition. To us whom the end of the age has come. It's written for admonition. And so when you receive that admonition, the Bible says wisdom is profitable to what? Direct. So you now begin to apply yourself to that wisdom, and you're going to start noticing success upon success in your life. So you use it to your advantage. You use it for your benefits, but it's never against you. Somebody said, nothing is ever against me. Shout your biggest hallelujah. I don't know if I can get up to 100 people that will give the Lord a mighty praise this evening. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a freedom in Christ. What liberty we enjoy as sons of God. So we hear wisdom, it doesn't work against us, but it works for us. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. In this generation where we see people, children talk to their elders anyhow. Insult people who are supposed to be their fathers anyhow. Just insult. And many of them we see online, and because they are just behind, hiding behind their keyboards, they can type anything, insult anybody, talk about spiritual authorities anyhow, talk about their pastors anyhow. And then they say it is enlightenment. And then they say it is, they don't even know. That's how the devil perpetuates the curse on earth. So see what the scripture says. But know this. Help me turn to that neighbor by your side. Hold him or her by their hands and call their name. Say, Mr. David. Shout, know this. Read with me. Continue. That what? Perilous times will come. In the last days, perilous times will come. Dangerous times, difficult times will come. Perilous times will come. Verse 2. Keep reading to that neighbor. So this is the way you're going to see. It's called the spirit of the last days. The spirit of the last days. That means the overactivity, the overflow of wickedness, what prompted by the activities of demons. The overflow of wickedness prompted by the activities of demons. The demons know, they can sense the time is coming. And they want to take as many people down with them. They want to take as many people as they can to hell. So see what the spirit of last days, this perilous time, see what's going to be happening. I wanted to read to your neighbor. What's the first one? Again? Men will be lovers of themselves. They will be self-absorbed, self-focused, selfish. What's the second one? They'll love money, not God. What's the third one? Boasters. What's the fourth one? Proud. What's the next one? Blasphemer. How many of you see all those things? What's the next one? Disobedient to parents. What's the next one? Unthankful. What's the next one? Unholy. Are you seeing it? Are you seeing those things? Disobedience to parents. That's a spirit of rebellion. That Bible calls is what? Witchcraft. 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 Look at verse 3. Continue. What's the next one? Unloving. Men are going to be unloving. What's the next one? Unforgiving. Uh-huh. Slanderous. Uh-huh. Without self-control. Uh-huh. Brutal. Uh-huh. Despisers of good. Despisers of good. What's the fourth one? Verse 4. Traitors. Uh-huh. Headstrong. Haughty. Lovers of pleasure. Rather than. Hey, you know how many people are singing, I can never go back. No, no. I have decided to follow Jesus. And while they are singing it, they are committing sin against God. And it, they will rather, they tell you it's just the vibe. And okay, I love music. I really like music a lot. So, and there are different kinds of music. There is no holy style of music. What makes music holy is the vessel it's coming from, the inspiration behind it, and the words that convey it. Do you understand that? The vessel is okay. So if I get you water from a tank that is pure and I put it through a pipe that is impure and rusty, what will come to the other side? If they like, let him be an unbeliever and be singing, you saved me. Yeah. It doesn't make the music holy. And it doesn't mean people shouldn't sing it. Another person who sings it, it can be holy through the person. Okay? There is no unbeliever that will make me listen to their music because they sang Jesus in it. And after singing the Jesus, you say, Ashawo, Ashawo. I will never listen to you. You understand that? Because the vessel is unholy. Nothing coming from that vessel is holy. Don't let anybody fool you. Nobody can introduce poison if it's written poison. If somebody comes to you with a cup and they wrote it poison, and say, dear, drink poison. Will you take? How do people introduce poison? They give you what you like. Then introduce a drop. When you listen to unholy men, something will drop. Words are spirits. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirits and they are life. Because he is a life-giving spirit. So the spirit is a life-giving spirit. He gives you spirit and life. When you listen to another person, it's spirit and death. Spirit and corruption. There are secular music, and not all music are wrong. Your music must not have Jesus or gospel to be okay. Are you hearing me? There are secular music that are decent, very okay, and music is a gift God has given for us to enjoy life. It adds beauty to life. It carries its own emotion. But you've got to understand that every music has an inspiration behind it. And when you have the Holy Spirit, the same way the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a son of God, the Holy Spirit will bear witness about the inspiration of a music. When you know the Holy Spirit, you listen to a song, even movies, because we sometimes focus only on on music and movies. There are movies I put on. Once I just watch 5 minutes of it, I say put it off. It means there is an inspiration. It's a normal movie. Everybody's enjoying it, but I can't watch it. I can't watch it. So these things are key. These things are important. So you know this. So people like vibes. Vibes. And it's happening out there. All over. Even in many gatherings that we call the church. Lovers of pleasure. If you want, test it. Call a picnic. Then call a prayer meeting. Let's see the one the people in the church likes more. Picnic or prayer meeting. Let's see the one they will tell you, I don't have time. I'm really busy. There's something I wanted to. Let's see. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's the spirit of the last days. The spirit of the last days. But you know, it doesn't happen in every church. God has a remnant. And he has for himself a witness. And Lamb will love the Lord. I want you to tell everybody, in case they don't know and they are new, tell them, and Lamb will love the Lord here. Praise the Lord. Now see what the scripture says in verse 5. And everybody read. See what happens to those people. One, two, go. Having what? Did you notice he's not talking about unbelievers now? These guys have a form, an appearance of what? Godly. But was it? But denying its power. But denying its power. And what did the scripture say you should do? Again. If you finish from here and we had this kind of meeting and the presence of God was so strong and there's such manifestation of all God's glory, we worshiped, and then you finish and you meet someone, say, hi babe, can I just get your number? And there is nothing wrong with, can I get your number? And I say, you know babe, and then you can smell immorality. Okay? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Can I just walk you home? Your shade, they enter my eye. You know them. Somebody say, not them. Beware of dogs. Beware of what? When you see the sign, beware of dogs on a gate, is it dog outside or inside? When you come to church, there are dogs. Therefore, they come to church. All manner of people. The people you should be more careful about are not even the unbelievers outside. Those ones you already know, your guards are up, is these ones. Having the forms of God. Those ones. Those are the people. But the Bible says, have nothing to do with them. Don't say, we love, pastor preach about love ambassadors. No, balance the truth. The same God who is love says, from such people, lovingly, turn away. Turn away. Now, why am I teaching you this? How many of you have heard people who said, if somebody has a problem with my spiritual father, he doesn't have a problem with me. We were friends before we met. Have you been seen? Huh? Do you know how shameful it is that somebody speaks ill of your father, despises your father, dishonors your father, slanders your father, and you say you're friends? You're a son that causes shame. You should be ashamed of yourself. First of all, you're ignorant. If you studied that in the scriptures, the Bible talks about self-confident fools. The person is just a self-confident fool. And I'm not saying it in terms of insult. I'm saying it in terms of the scriptures. You have not known the scriptures. The Bible says if you see these people, one of them, not just unholy, are people who are disobedient to what? Parents. The signs. You see people who are not submissive to authority. People who are rebellious to authority. People who slander their fathers. People who kill their fathers. People who expose the nakedness of their fathers. People who disrespect fathers. From such people, do what? That's what the scripture says. Turn away. If you belong in a church and you have a spiritual father in a church and someone rises up from the rank of the church and begins to act rebellious for different reasons, carries an offense, slanders the spiritual father, slanders the church, and you maintain friendship with that person in one way or the other, trust me, there are two things that are so sure. It will happen. No matter the kind of heart you have. The first thing that is sure is that you will stop receiving from that church and from that father. You'll start noticing it. People are going to be giving testimonies. Miracles are going to be happening. And you keep wondering, why not me? What it means is that the connection in the spirit has been broken. And there can't be collection until there is connection. Covenant is broken. The father-son relationship is a covenant relationship. What did I say? Say it again. One more time. That's the first thing you're going to notice. You stop receiving. The words of that man of God will no longer make any form of impact in your life. The prayers and the prophecies and the declarations of faith from that man of God will no longer make any impact. You stop receiving. That's what you're going to notice. And so you're going to notice you will not be able to prosper. And you're going to, all because of that, there will always be dissatisfaction. There will always be anger in your heart. The second thing you're going to notice, those two things happen for sure. The second thing you're going to notice your commitment, the grace of God for you to serve in that place will be lifted off you. Your commitment will get down to zero. You only, because there are people that when they stay in a church, they just stay. They don't like too much changes. But you're going to notice someone that was on fire, that will always be in church, the first person to come to church, the first person to do this, always passionate, interceding, you're going to notice that commitment. It will keep reducing. Some people, it happens within 1 year. Some people, it happens within 10 years. But each year, it keeps reducing until there is a separation. The day you touch your father, the day you join hands and have fellowship with people that touch your father, the same spirit of rebellion comes into you. It's not, I tell people, I said, all you just have to say, they don't even have to sit down and be talking, just be communing with them, eat granite with them, laugh with them after a while. It's a spiritual thing. If there is no repentance, if there is no repentance. And most times you have to go back to your father, kneel down and say, I was naive. I didn't know. I was in a place. This happened. Daddy, I didn't know. I was naive. Look upon me not as a rebellious son, but as one who didn't know. I acted foolishly. I am sorry, sir. I have cut off. I have repented before the Lord. Please speak over my life. Until you're restored, nothing else happens. And you know the worst thing about this thing? Is that you can't choose your spiritual father. When there is a disconnection between your spiritual father, you'll be a spiritual bastard roaming about for life. For life. You will enter another church, submit to a man, and say, you're my father. You don't. I will give you shepherds. You don't choose shepherds. The way you didn't choose who your natural father is, you can't choose who your spiritual father is. It's a spiritual matter. It's a spiritual matter. And a lot of people don't know this. That's why when you see people who break this covenant, you watch them, they now become irresponsible Christians. They keep roaming. Hardly will you see them submit anywhere. When you see such Christians who do not have fathers, who do not submit to fathers, who are rebellious to fathers, if you have people you call friends who mock fathers, who dishonor fathers, who disrespect fathers, please do what the scripture says. From such people, do what? I'm not telling you to turn away. The scripture says we should turn away. Wave your hands if you're getting it. Say, I'm getting it. I raise my hands unto the Lord of hosts. Whoever it is here who have walked in foolishness before now, now that light has come, whatever the enemy has used through deception to put you under a yoke of rebellion, it is broken now! For restoration, these things are serious. Go for hands to be raised, to be placed on you. Go for words to be spoken over you. I raise my hands in the presence of God, and I decree and declare today that it is well with you. I decree and declare that you have peace and you prosper all your days upon this earth. I decree and declare, with long life you shall be satisfied. I decree and declare, the struggles and the failures and the defeats of your fathers shall never again be your portion. I decree and declare, but the double portion of the inheritance and the blessings of your father shall be upon you in the name of Jesus. Say, I'm wise. Come on, shout it, say, I'm wise. Come on, shout it, say, I'm wise. Shout it, say, I'm wise. All of us who are men, teach your children these things. Don't wait for a pastor to teach them after they have made mistakes. As a father, you're a priest. I want everybody to stand on your feet now. Get the communion ready. I would like you to give me Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And I'll put it to verse 9. I'll read from verse 4 to verse 9. Please teach your children this. All cell leaders, all departmental leaders, fellowship leaders, all of you who are Christians and God brings newer believers, sit them down, teach them. You have genuine people who are friends, who are in the habit of speaking down, slandering. You know one thing about slander? Slander is slander, whether it's a lie or is what? True. Slander is saying something that harms the influence of another. Whether it is true or whether it's a lie, is slander. Whatever that is said that harms the goodwill, the favor another person is supposed to enjoy, the reputation of another, is slander. But pastor, what if the person did, if God tells everybody what you did wrong, that is true, will you like it? So this same God who forgives you says, forgive as I forgive. Stop spreading the ills of other people, the failures and the flaws of men. Stop speaking against people, whether it is true or not. Gossip is gossip, whether it's true or not. Slanderers. Whether you are going to have to teach your children naturally, biologically, your whole household, then all of us here, both male and female, there are people God will put in our hands. Some of us have friends who don't know these things. Hear the scripture. Hold your neighbor. When I get to the verse I want you to read, you read with me, but pay attention. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 5. Read with me now, verse 5. One to go. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your soul. Again, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be, these words which I command you today shall be what? What did Jesus say? If you love me, obey my command. What's God's love language? Obedience. Obedience. If you love me, don't just shed tears, obey. These words, honor thy father, that I command you shall be in your. Verse 7. Keep reading to that neighbor. One to go. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Verse 8. See what he said? You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. Verse 9, shout aloud. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house. That's priesthood. Teach your sons and daughters. Teach new converts. Teach your friends. And don't argue. Go to the scriptures. That's why we are showing you these things in the scriptures. Use the scriptures. Let them argue with God's word. Once you use the scriptures, leave them. The Holy Spirit will do his work. Let them know that rebellion against authority is a spirit of the last days. And do not be a partaker of anyone who wants to insist to remain in that path. Are you hearing me? From such, turn away. Lift your hands and pray in the spirit. Pray out loud in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit.
Kandele Bragadesh. Librande Kata. I the facts are being corrected. Pray in the spirit. Lepredikaya. Groin problems have been healed. Someone has been healed in the groin. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Lepradikatosh. Lekaya tosha. Doors are opening. Doors are opening. Doors are opening. Doors are opening. Lepra walls that limited men are coming down now. They are coming down now. Things that have held men back. Things that have held men back now. Let's go. Let's go in the name of Jesus. Lepreto shakata. Lekayato. Lepredekata. Lebradekarabahata. Lebronde zundeya. Lebredeka. Lebrinde zundelibra. Lekayato. Lift your hands. Anyone here that was cursed by a father figure, in your ignorance you didn't know, but today that the light of the Lord has come and you've repented before the Lord, I stand on the protocol of Calvary. I stand upon this altar that is greater than everyone else. This blood that speaks better things than that blood that cries for vengeance. I engage the law of the spirit of life that delivers men from the law of sin and death. I cancel and overturn that curse in the name of Jesus. I cancel and overturn that curse in the name of Jesus. Therefore, you devils that had steadily, through your deception and lies, have taken grounds and get grounds and been a resistance to the prosperity and the progress of these men and women under the sound of my voice, I put you on notice. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot stop it or overcome it. And by the blood of the Lamb, we overcame you, even through the words of our testimony. Therefore, you foul spirits, you fallen angels, you demons of hell, in the name of Jesus, lose your hold and get out. Lose your hold and get out. I break your hold on their cases. I break your hold on their health. I break your hold on their progress. I break your hold on their families. Get out in the name of Jesus. And return no more. No one under this new covenant is a meat for you to eat. We have a covenant of life and not of death. We have a covenant of the blessing and not of curses. Yekaru Sakaha. Lift your hands. Father, mercy. 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 That you turn the heart of fathers to children. To their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers. That in this spiritual house, this house of land, this spiritual family, that you turn my heart to all that you have given me. And you turn the hearts of all you have given me to their father. Thank you, Father, because you are establishing this order and nothing can overturn it. We give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 806-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.